Welcome to the Hostile Zone.
Use your voice, somebody hears you.
Welcome to the Hostile Zone on Bianca Cam. Welcome to, how are you today? You're with the infamous and dangerous and always in your face, Eric Andrew Sinati. Eric A. Sinati. Who?
Eric Sinati, of course.
Right here on your FM dial, your iHeart dial, your TuneIn dial, your podcast platform after the fact, it wherever it may be, on your cable network, your local TV network. I don't know where you're listening or watching, but you better be here on the Hostile Zone, because I'm your humble correspondent, Eric Sinati, accompanied by the on-air vocalist, Miss Bianca C-S-E-A. How are you?
Good. Bianca C, that's me. Hello, everyone.
Welcome to the show. Again.
Thank you.
With syndication, as always.
yes, as always.
And I was working all day on my next column. I'm going to be putting out my news column on the disproportionate representation of minorities in the criminal justice system within the United States, which is a serious issue that we face here in the United States,
along with
many other issues we face. But it is one that is close to my heart, close to, I believe, in equality amongst all people, regardless of race, creed, religion, color, etc. And so we're here. But that is not what today's episode is about.
And what's today's episode about?
Well, it's the Hostile Zone, but we're not going to be so hostile because, you know, we're trying to be everybody's friend if we can. If you're a slime ball and if you're using your position for power or you're trying to run for election and lying to people and taking money from other people and not telling people, then we don't like you. You're not welcome here
on
the show.
You're not welcome here. That's right.
We do have a confirmation at RFK. Robert F. Kennedy is going to do an interview with us here on the show.
Oh, that's awesome.
I'm looking forward to that. I did get confirmation from the Trump campaign as well. So we're trying to schedule dates. And I've been invited on a couple other shows myself, actually.
Oh, well, congrats.
On one of the bigger networks as well, affiliated networks. So we'll see. Anyway, so folks, welcome to the Hostile Zone. As always, we thank you. We appreciate you coming here to the show, whether you're watching, listening, whatever it is, you're hearing us live on the FM radio or on iHeart or any one of the other places that you can find us. You can check out the information on the ticker below.
Right.
It gives you the little bit of outline of what today's show is and all the locations you can find us, as well as how you can reach us. You can get us at The Hostile Zone at bbstalkradio.com. You can get us at Eric Sinati at bbstalkradio.com. You can get us at Bianca C, S-E-A, at bbstalkradio.com. And as always, Eric at ericandrewsinati.com. And if they want to text?
Well, you can text us at 917-877-0177. 7-1.
That was very nice.
Thank you.
So today we're going to break down a Supreme Court ruling with regard to the Trump immunity and its impact on presidential accountability and the 2024 election, how that will work for everybody and each candidate. I do find it to be an interesting, I like to break down Supreme Court cases when at all possible. I do have the launch of my other show where we will be breaking down legal cases across the nation. And that'll be launching very, very soon. Also, as well as the news network that I'm on, we're finalizing. The deals are struck, folks. We are just finalizing the details, the logo, the images, the sound bites, and everything that's going to be in it. But these two shows are going to be launched. But today we are going to break down a Supreme Court decision. There's been several Supreme Court decisions recently, which I'm very impressed with our Supreme Court and the fact that they are hearing as many cases as they are. I wish they always would hear more, but I guess if they hear more and too much, then maybe they don't put as much weight and effort. So what's the old saying? It's the effort, not the amount, right? It's not the cost, it's the effort. You know, so like if you put all, yeah, you can have a lot and it could be thin as paper, or you can have a very little bit of things you cover, but it's thick as a book.
So it's like the more time, the better quality.
Yeah, I believe the less cases, they are taking cases, but the less cases that they are taking in and hearing and ruling on, because they do hear, they do read the cases. But the ones that they actually decide to open up and hear arguments, et cetera, that I believe in a happy medium. I don't want anything as thin as a piece of paper, so they take everything and the answer is thin as paper, nor do I want them to take one or two and them to be as thick as a book. I like a happy medium. I like a soft cover workbook, you know, so maybe they can get 10 or 15 cases in at a time and get some good information. Because, you know, the American people need this. The world needs this. The world is watching the United States. They are watching how we handle ourselves during the elections. They are watching how we handle ourselves with each other. And there are consequences to everything that you do. There is a Newton's law. There is a positive and a negative reaction for everything. So regardless, if somebody feels it's a victory, somebody else lost. And if somebody else lost, somebody had to win. So whenever something happens, there is a yin and a yang. There's an opposite. So on this particular one, we're going to talk about presidential immunity while in office for official duties. That's basically what this is. So we're going to be tackling one of the most consequential legal battles probably in recent history. Former President Donald Trump's bid for immunity in with his criminal prosecutions. The decision by the Supreme Court has profound implications, profound, across the board implications, which I don't even think we at this point will even know the implications. They will be further and further down the road. I think it's opening a can of worms, but it's a profound decision, and here we are. And it's not just going to have implications for President Trump. It's going to have implications for other presidents, former presidents, and future presidents. So if I was any president, I might be paying attention to this.
Oh, boy.
It basically shapes the future of presidential accountability and the rule of law in the United States. Historically, Ms. Bianca, you know that presidents, we never saw presidents being indicted.
No.
Being brought, you know, we don't read about that. We don't hear about that. That's not something that people know. You know, this is new.
I definitely never heard of that in my history books back then.
Right, and I'm sure some of this stuff won't be in your history book now.
Oh, probably.
Yeah. I'm sure, depending on, unless if it went through one of my publishers or the ones that I do screening on books, that I do write textbooks and I edit them, I make sure that factual information, because here on The Hostile Zone and Eric A. Sinati, I'm on your side, as always. I give you the scoop, no fake news. I pull back that curtain and I call a spade a spade. If you're a Republican and you're a jerk, I'm going to tell you. If you're a Democrat and you're a jerk, I'm going to tell you. And if RFK comes on the show and he's a jerk as an independent, I'm going to tell him. I don't think any of them are going to do that.
No, I don't think he would.
To do that, but I will for you folks, because that's what you tune into my show for. So I hope that the textbooks that I put out, or I don't write all the textbooks, but I do input into them. Many textbooks, which is fun. And I do make sure that they redact my name on a lot of them. So this way you don't know, because I don't have to do that, which is, I find good, because then, you know, it gets out there. It's good information.
Right.
But anyway, so we know we got to start off with a relevant quote.
Okay. What's the quote?
And you know what's fascinating about the relevant quote today, Ms. Bianca?
And what's that?
Well, the fascinating point about today's quote is it kind of goes along with my news column about minorities.
Oh, really?
I quoted the, I don't know how you word it right. It's Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., which, by the way, I share his birthday. I did, but I'm very disappointed because it was not a federal holiday when I was young.
Oh.
So I went to school on my birthday, January 15th. That's my birthday. And that was, the reason I said Dr. Martin, because it is Dr. Martin Luther King. He is a doctor, but it's also reverend. So I don't really know how you do that. Reverend doctor, Dr. Reverend. I guess I'll have to ask my friend, Dr. Reverend Joe.
Reverend doctor.
Reverend doctor. I have to ask Joe Robinson.
I'm sure it is? Reverend
Joe Robinson, Dr. Joe Robinson, another very good friend of mine. He'll be on the show. We're doing some work together. We're working on some cases. He's out of New Jersey. Patterson, straight out of Patterson.
Yeah, I think it's Reverend Doctor.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure on Martin Luther King, I gave him the doctor and the reverend. Mm-hmm. But his quote, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere." Hmm. And that goes along with my column. And that's why I added that quote in. "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere," everybody. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Excellent, excellent man. Wonderful leader. Wonderful leader. I'm proud to share his birthday. I came from a family that forced me to learn about him. My uncle was a teacher and a professor. And of course, I ended up following and being a professor with him. But as him, we ended up teaching at some of the same institutions as the professor. We ran into each other.
Yeah.
fact is that he was Dr. Martin Luther King, as well as my family, making me learn about everybody, because we are a non-racist family in any way.
And that's good.
I even read about George Washington Carver.
Oh.
Call in if you're, or email in if you know who he is, because my mom made me sit down and read all these books. So.
And that you end up loving them.
I do. Honestly, really. But the joke about.
I think that's all you have in your library.
But the thing is, you got to hit that button there again.
Oh, yeah.
The thing about Dr. Martin Luther King, though, I do have an issue with the government, is I never got the holiday. I did as an adult, because I did spend my entire adult life working in government. So I did get his day off, which is my birthday, obviously. I got that day off in government, but I would have loved it in eighth grade and in sixth and seventh grade, you know, but hey, it's okay. Wonderful guy. There's a lot of conversation to be had about Dr. Martin Luther King.
So let me ask you this, on when you were in elementary school, Catholic school, you had to go to school your day?
We did not, yeah.
Oh, good.
I got to tell you.
So that means that's good that you get to, like, bring cupcakes to the class.
And you know what? My mom made cupcakes.
I know. That's why I mentioned it.
She made cupcakes. And my mom really made a big deal about my birthday. Every birthday.
That's good.
Not part of today's show, but why not? We can do it. I would wake up and I would go into the other room, and there would be streamers and balloons and everything. I couldn't touch it because I had to go to school.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, federal government, for not declaring it a holiday yet. I went to school. Always one gift was unwrapped.
One gift.
So I could see it. And it was always I remember one time it was like the Activision or whatever, the Atari, you know?
Atari.
And it was on the table, you know? I'm like, ooh. And then everything else was wrapped. I couldn't wait, but I couldn't touch it. And then my mom always threw
the best. Because that's the best gift.
She threw the best birthday parties too.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we played all the games, pin the tail on a donkey and all kinds of craziness. Everybody else did parties at the roller rink and bowling alley. And I, at the time, wanted that because other people did that. But my mom put the effort into baking the cupcakes, not store-bought, which other parents did. And she baked a personal cake for my birthday, big one. And she made it very fun for my friends and for everybody,
so
which was unique. And I thank her for that now. And that's good. Okay, let's get into today's show. So I talked on too long. The talking points.
Well, thanks for your mother.
Shout out to her. Yeah.
Shout out to your mother.
Shout out to her.
Hi, Mom.
So
she's so cute.
Right. So it's the case overview. Basically, some talking points and statistics on the case here.
Okay.
The Supreme Court ruled on Trump v. United States, deciding on the extent of a former president's immunity from criminal prosecution.
Okay.
Understand that presidents are immune to certain things because of the activities they have to do in office. Sometimes a war, they are committing a murder. When we legitimately assassinate a terrorist or whoever, I mean, besides, I went to Catholic school, and that is against the Ten Commandments, and it was always something in the military that came into my mind, you know, but, and I've actually gone and spoke to Chaplain about it, and these are things we've talked about, and, you know, presidents, I feel the same way, because I know that George W. Bush had a lot of struggle with the wars after the fact, and at the time, but of all the people that lost lives. And I can't imagine anybody that's ordering the life of people to be whatever. So and that's not really where this is going, but this is talking about because you have to do certain things, and the actions you do sometimes include actions that for a normal person or a regular John Q. Public, Jane Q. Public, would be a crime because they are acting in the official capacity of their duty. Similar to a law enforcement officer, I like to add this in,
okay,
who have qualified immunity. Basically, they're immune from certain things because they have to do certain things in their job, the performance of their job to get the mission done. And they're qualified from being sued, qualified immunity from being sued, et cetera, if they do it properly. However, this has been an issue in America where they've been like, stripping that.
Like, for an example, like speeding. They don't break the law unless it's a...
Well, there is, I think we talked about this, about due regard, and as part of the EVOC course, Emergency Vehicle Operation Control course, having due regard, what traffic, how to, when you get to a certain amount of feet to a traffic light, you're supposed to, you have the traffic pattern, you have to look at how many lanes there are, which lane you're going to maneuver your vehicle to try to evade traffic, mm-hmm, but you have to have, quote, due regard, and every certain amount of feet or whatever to the traffic light, mm-hmm, you have to change the siren pattern.
You have
to change the pattern of the siren to the audible sounds, so the vehicles in the other car will hear the different high pitch, low pitch, audible sounds to change up to let them know that you're coming closer. And then
I've heard that.
And then you slowly, then you come almost to a complete stop at the traffic light. You've now changed to another siren pattern, a faster one, usually like a hyper yup, the faster one, mm-hmm, like that. And then you'll hear the horn, yeah, and blow through. Wow. But again, that is considered qualified immunity, but it's really, you have to be holding due regard. The second you cross and do too much, you can get yourself in trouble. Many law enforcement officers find themselves having a court's rule to strip them of qualified immunity, and they get sued for violating civil rights. Check out the civil rights lawyer on YouTube, civilrightslawyer.com. He's out of West Virginia. He went to law school in North Carolina, does some great work. Check him out. Check out Long Island Audit, and you'll see what we're talking about, qualified immunity and law enforcement abusing their powers.
Oh, he's my favorite Long Island Audit.
So back to the Supreme Court case. This case stems from Trump's alleged actions surrounding the 2020 election and the January Capitol 6th riot. Now, let me be very clear, okay?
Okay.
President Trump, Donald J. Trump, former President Trump, Donald Trump, whatever you want to call him, Donald J. Trump, however we're going to refer to him, in a respectful manner. He was never implicated legally in the January 6th riot. And this is fair and balanced, folks. Pull back the curtain. I'm telling you a fact here. I'm not giving you fake news. This is not fake news NN or something like that. You know, I left out the beginning letter, but you can put it in your head. You know, EAMSN, you know, something else, whatever. We're not those people. I'm going to tell you like it is. He was never implicated in this. Now, you might believe that he exacerbated the situation. That's fine. That's your opinion. I'm not going to give you my opinion. I am going to give my opinion. It's not about the president. I think that the people had a right to make a protest that day. I think we have a right to engage in First Amendment protected activities that are in this thing on the wall here and in this book in my hand, the United States Constitution. We have a right to exercise our First Amendment protected rights.
Well, it's like outside.
You're right. What's that?
Outside.
Outside, but it's like any
but
other
anybody
muscle.
That breaks things and whatever.
Well, there's a difference like between that. Exercising your, yes, and that's where I'm going to go.
Oh.
And I'm going to compare that to something else in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Exercise, when you, it's like going to the gym. When you exercise, you're sore because you haven't been using that muscle. When you don't use a muscle, it becomes, it's called atrophy. You lose muscle definition. Muscle, lean muscle mass, you lose muscle density, you actually wilt away. Our rights are like muscles. You must exercise them, otherwise they get atrophy. They get watered down and forgotten. People forget that we have the right to free speech, the right to assemble, the right to free to a free press, a right, mm-hmm, to speak your mind as long as you're not lying. I'm against that. as long as you're not lying and you're not intending to inflict or incite a riot. That brings us right to President Trump and January 6th. The individuals that showed up there that day had an absolute exercise ability for their rights. Unquestionable. Inalienable, if you want to quote the Constitution. Inalienable rights. Mm. God-given inalienable rights. That's what that's in that document. And they had that right to do that because they felt that what they were arguing was their opinion accurate. And I'm okay with that. Now, the second you start destructing government property, you start assaulting law enforcement officers, government officials, and citizens, when you bring weapons to a peaceful protest, right? It's supposed to be a peaceful protest. When you're bringing weapons, I have a problem with that. I also have a problem with, we're going to get further on that. So when we compare this, President Trump was never indicted. The Department of Justice is not investigating him for this. He's not being investigated or charged with anything having to do with the riot. Now, there is some enlightening information that has come out that I find I didn't hear very often. Hmm. And I should have it with me. And I wish I had one of my assistants right here with me to pull it up and run it. I'm going to shout out who put it out. Bill O'Reilly. Love you, Bill. Real great, great, great guy. Great commentary. I like to believe very fair and balanced. Very, very well spoken. He a couple weeks ago, ran a clip, an unedited clip, okay, of Speaker Nancy Pelosi in a dark SUV on January 6th. With family and other officials in the car, and she verbally took, she said, "This is my fault." Huh. She admitted on the video, in the car, video and audio, in the car, that she is at fault because the buck stops with her because she's the Speaker of the House at the time, and she hires the Capitol Police. They work for her. And she acknowledged that President Trump offered the National Guard in advance. Oh. And she denied, and the National, that she denied, or they did not accept the National Guard. They did not graciously accept the offer of the president, or the outgoing president, but still was president at that moment, to accept the offer of him to provide National Guard. Also, the city government, which really, Washington, D.C. is not a city, it's a district. They actually technically belong to the federal government. But they do have a local city sort of council. But they do answer to the government, federal government. They're a district, not a state nor a city. But anyway, they also were very public about, we don't want National Guard on our street. I just want to say that, and I will run the soundbite. I will put it up probably. I'll try to link it to this on our show after it airs so you can find it when you get it into a podcast or whatever. But it is fabulous because apparently this original clip was edited by, I believe, a family member of Miss Pelosi. And I don't want to name who it is, but for a documentary about her life or whatever they were doing, which is fine, which is fine. Yeah. I have no problem with that. I got no problem with that. I really don't. Because, you know, there are sound bites can be taken wrong. And, you know, we do it. We edit here if we have to. We don't edit to make me sound more truthful or less truthful or something, but we do have to edit. So editing is possible. It's required sometimes. So when this piece was edited for whatever documentary they did, maybe that was taken out because it didn't fit for the moment. Maybe not because
minutes, possibly.
I'm not saying they took it out because they knew that it was made her look bad.
Maybe.
But I do give her credit. She did say at that time that, you know, it was her fault. So President Trump was never implicated in any of these, this January 6th, nor do I see that happening, nor does the Supreme Court see that happening. So, I mean, let's look forward, folks. Let's not be tunnel visioned. Let's look forward and let's, you know, try to see. Before I get into the significance, though, we are going to play a nice song here from Frank Sinatra, one of my favorites. Love you, Frank.
Frank.
We're gonna do a little Frank Sinatra, right?
Yeah.
So we'll get that going. What are we
Frank
gonna
Frank Sinatra?
Which one are we gonna do?
My Way. One of my favorites.
My Way. Who doesn't love Frank Sinatra? My Way.
And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I traveled each and every highway and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Regrets, I've had a few, but then again, too few to mention. I did what I had to do and saw it through without exemption. I planned each charted course, each careful step along the byway, and more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew, but through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now, as tears subside, I find it all so amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, oh no, not me, I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say.
Love that song.
Really?
Love us some Frank Sinatra. So anyway, we're back. Hope you enjoyed a little Frank Sinatra. I always do.
I do too.
I found it to be appropriate because it's your way, and right here it's the Supreme Court's way. So that's what we're that's what we're talking about. So back to the significance of this ruling, which you know, I think could go a lot of directions. The decision really is kind of interesting because it could either bolster or undermine any potential federal charges against the former President Trump, specifically Trump, but anybody else presidentially in the future, directly impacting Special Counsel Jack Smith's case, who has been currently looking into everything, but they have not really proceeded with any of that. But don't forget, he does have the Alan Bragg New York City case that he has his alleged sentencing coming up. That is like for the hush money, that bull crap hush money trial, I've wasted tax dollar monies over and moving business document garbage. I don't even, you know. Anyway, so that they had the sentencing for that case that he was convicted, but they did not enter the conviction in yet, folks. So I'm going to pontificate that again, that they have not entered the conviction into the record yet. So therefore, the conviction is not a valid conviction until it's entered into the record by the court clerk through the judge's order. And then there would be a sentencing. Then there's a conviction.
How long can the clerk?
They can drag that out, and they can actually. Well, really, they have such things as the judge can turn around and then vacate the sentence. Still, he can withhold the adjudication. Basically, he can withhold adjudication, saying, "Yeah, the jury found him guilty, but he's decided not to go any further with it," and he can withhold adjudication and never enter it. And that's it. It goes bye-bye. Oh. But we don't know what's going to happen. I'm just saying those are some of the options. Now, here's an interesting fact that his sentencing for this particular conviction with 34 convictions for really one act. I love how that happens. Yeah, one incident of paying somebody that he's alleging happened, and they made it into 34 because it was broken into 34 payments. Mm-hmm. It doesn't even make sense. But I guess if you're Alan Bragg and, you know, that's what you want to do to get elected, then that's what you do. But they are going to move and change by at least 2 weeks the sentencing based on the Supreme Court ruling. Huh. Because we're not sure how this is going to turn out. So the Supreme Court case is now told the district attorney in New York that they're going to put it back. They're going to wait at least 2 weeks or maybe even longer. Who knows what's going to happen? But they waited 2 weeks now. So he pushed so hard to indict him, so hard to get convictions, so hard to add charges and fluff it up to 34. But now all of a sudden he's okay to delay back 2 weeks. I wonder why. Oh, sure. I don't know. Let's see where that goes. But ultimately, this ruling may set precedent in the legal accountability for all presidents. And that's really what I think is a failure for our nation, because you don't want somebody coming into the presidency holding that level of office. It's like, you know, I'm gonna put it in like a John Q. Public sense.
Okay, yeah,
It's like joining the military, right? Mm-hmm. Or joining the military, right? And I'm comparing it to the president right now. Military, you go out and you follow you do what is required to do, and you are engaged in a war, and you ultimately kill people. You know, we may not use the words kill. We may use the word neutralize. Mitigate the threat, neutralize, because, you know, it's a kinder, gentler, humanistic way of saying we've ended somebody's life who deserved their life probably to be ended. I don't really know. But this ruling is similar to saying, well, if moving forward, if that makes presidents accountable for official duties in the performance of the presidency and they could be charged criminally for it later, what's to say a soldier on the front line shoots somebody and then they get arrested? Well, they get brought up on charges.
Oh.
Right?
Right, right.
I brought that into a John Q. Public. Very similar but different. Right. But the concept, folks, is what you need to be seeing. You don't need to link all the linkages and say it's the same. No, it's not the same, but it is the same packaged meat. OK, maybe different bread, but the same packaged meat. You're performing the duties from which you took an oath to do. And in the performance of that duties, one of the requirements that you must do is to do something that would otherwise be considered a crime. Are you supposed to be held accountable later? Now, we are struggling with military recruiting right now as it is. Everybody is below numbers, except for the Marine Corps. I believe they're doing halfway deep. They're actually up to snuff with their numbers, but everybody else is below what their recruiting numbers are supposed to be and their retention numbers. We're losing people. Enough folks that Congress is now talking about, we have the Selective Service, which is the draft. They are now going to make that more enforceable and include women. Read that. Check that out. That was a recent congressional.
They're going to include women now?
Yes. And they're and it used to be when you were 18, it was your duty to go to the post office and get the Selective Service form as a male between the ages of 18 and 26. And even if you joined the military, which it didn't matter once you did because you were in, but you still had to file for it. But now it's going to automatically happen. That's that's apparently what this Supreme Court, this congressional appropriations thing is going to incorporate. Ensuring that it happens, and it will include women.
Wow.
So I want to preface that along with what I was just saying. If somebody knows that they're going into a job, whether it be running for the president or being a soldier, if you know that you are not protected to do what it is that you need to do to protect the Americans and the people and to protect our nation, and you can do that without you having physical harm to your family and going to prison for it, if you're acting legitimately, then that's a problem. Because who in their right mind already at this point wants to run for office? Because you get beat up in the news, fake news, lies, dirt from years and years and years ago comes out that half the time isn't true, can't be proven. It's a million years ago. It's somebody else's word. You go through hell. You finally get elected anyway, and people forget about it, but your family suffered and was tortured during the whole process. So if that's the case, and you already suffer to do that, why would they want to say, well, now maybe I might go to prison too? Or you know what? If I beat somebody in the election, they'll get back at me by having the opposite party indict me on criminal charges. It just is, it is a banana republic. It's a banana republic. That's what it is. So I think that the Supreme Court really ought to be looking deep at this, but it's not just President Trump. This raises questions for everybody. So if I was a former president, some felonies have no statute of limitations. So keep that in mind. Bear that in mind for some of you that have done things and held office. But this case arises questions about the separations of powers and the limitations of what executive privilege is. You know, executive privilege is the ability as the commander-in-chief, the executive of the head of the executive branch, the head of a nation, to have privileged information and to do things that they are allowed to do and not have to ask permission or to, you know, rely on others to tell them how to do. Now, of course, they have people advising them, but when they make an order, that's their order. Unless if the Supreme Court were to come in and somebody were to make a case and that's, you know, that's what checks and balances are. But executive privilege does give the president of the United States certain privileges for protection, like their papers and stuff like that. So that's why this whole classified information thing that he had at his house, he could with a swipe of a pen. It's his papers. Now, granted, it's the people's papers, no doubt about it. But him having copies of it, I don't really know. And he's charged with it. But if I recall, President Biden had the similar classified documents in his garage, and I believe he even jokingly said it was next to his Camaro.
Huh.
So, and I don't believe he was charged for that, but I believe they showed all these pictures of President Trump and Mar-a-Lago having that. But again, this is not a choice of either side. I'm just merely talking about the Supreme Court situations. The ruling has sparked a significant debate amongst many, many legal scholars, politicians, lawyers, public advocates, and politicians on where this will take us into the future. Where are people going to stand? Who's going to come forward to run for office? And what will you be able to do while you're in office? Mm. Will you actually be able to do what it is that you need to do? Did we weaken a nation by indicting a president? Did we weaken a nation? That is my call to you folks. Did we weaken a nation, regardless of what party you stand on? We are Americans first. Put that 9/11 mentality back in your head, folks that are old enough to remember that. Did we weaken a nation today and are the days that we've done these cases for really no stupid stuff That could have been handled behind closed doors or whatever other reasons that they were going to do, but we let the world see it. Did we weaken a nation? And did we weaken the future of our nation because other people, good people, will not come forward? And I have a great quote at the end of today's show.
You know for what, this. You know what that reminded me of just what? Now? You know, like how things happen like extreme to like the holidays. I mean, what's going to happen on July 4th? That's supposed to be a true American celebration. That's our birthday. You know what I mean? Right. So like,
I celebrate it regardless, but I've noticed that the celebrations have gotten small as a kid. Now, I don't know if it was because I was a kid and everything seemed so much bigger, or as I grew up, it really, people are not as, you know, enthusiastic about and patriotic. I don't really know. But I don't know.
I hope, you know, when everybody's celebrating their 4th of July, I hope it doesn't divide people.
But there's always division.
You know, it's all about having your family together and your friends and celebrating our heritage,
our freedoms.
Yeah. Our freedoms.
Freedoms in this document right on the wall here, the Constitution of the United States, and this handwritten letter behind me by President Abraham Lincoln to a family of somebody who died serving their nation. Anyway, back to the subject. The polls indicate a strong public interest, varying opinions on the implications versus for democracy and justice. So where does that leave John Q. Public, Jane Q. Public? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess we'll see on Election Day. I guess we will see where it really comes out. Now, I don't see President Trump bowing down at any time soon, so I think that if this is going to be anybody that's going to fight the good fight, and he will go to prison if he has to, and he will take everything to trial and not make a deal, it will be him. He said he's happy to go to prison if he has to. I believe in him. I believe when he said,
"If you get knocked down, you get right back up."
That's right, Rocky, right?
Yeah. Or
Frank Sinatra, right?
Yeah.
When you're down,
I did it my way.
And what was the other one? That's life. That's life. Yeah, you get knocked down, you get back up. But you know what? That's right. We all get down, we all get knocked down, we get back up.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to see President Biden or President Trump have to go to prison.
I don't want them either. Yeah, you're right. I don't want either of them going to prison.
No,
I don't
think it doesn't serve them any good at their age. It doesn't serve their family any good. It doesn't serve the United States any good. It doesn't serve our foreign allies any good.
It embarrasses us.
It serves us zero good, and I don't think there's any good that can come out of it. I think there are some people, there are haters, there's bots and trolls that hate their political opponent to the highest level, and that hate goes so far as to just want to make assumptions about people and to crucify them regardless.
Mm-hmm. And especially the ones that get paid.
And that's very, very sad. Mm-hmm. Because in the modern time that we live in with technology and social media, you really hurt good people with bad people who have bad intentions. Mm-hmm. I don't like those people. But the broader impact here, the decision could influence the political landscape, especially in the 2024 presidential election approaching, highlighting the ongoing tensions between the judicial decisions and political accountability. So, there is supposed to be checks and balances, right?
Right.
One side is watching the other. But at the same time, do we want that much justice involvement? Again, we've talked on this show many times about the weaponization of government. Weaponizing government to take out your political enemy. Weaponizing government because you're afraid of an individual because they may or may not be smarter than you, more charismatic than you, more resilient than you. And you instead of getting close to them and learning from them and teaming up with those people, you immediately have to tear them down and destroy them because of your fear. That is your personal insecurity. Those people, they have personal insecurities. They are not confident in their own abilities to stand there in front of a camera or anywhere and say who they are and what they believe in. They'd rather hide behind whatever it is they can hide behind. Mm-hmm. I implore if somebody has something to say, confront me and tell me to my face, and I'm happy to talk about it. And I believe that that is what President Trump is doing going into court. Now, the judge putting a gag order on him is a disgrace. saying you can't talk about this stuff during the election. Wait, I said a while back that if he loses, right? Was that Ms. Bianchi?
That's taking away his First Amendment.
His inalienable right to free speech is taken away. And he is the candidate for president. And he's a former president. Mm-hmm. So he's a president currently under Secret Service protection and currently running for president for a second term with the polls in his favor to win. And you're telling him he can't talk. You're putting gag order. So I think, again, Sinatti's opinion, I think that if he loses, I don't think he will, but should he lose, I think he would have a very good argument in the Supreme Court as to why he lost, because he was gagged by a judge and told he could not speak, therefore he could not do a proper campaign. He did not get to debate President Biden in a normal venue in front of a crowd with people. Because obviously President Biden was unable or inept to compete in such a debate. I want to see how, if there's going to, I know there's supposed to be one more debate. I don't even think President Biden will even be the nominee at that point. I think they're going to get to the convention and they're going to swap him out. That's just my opinion. Take it for what you will.
Or he'll probably still run, but they'll make an excuse why he's not attending at that time.
Well, no, yeah, he's going to have, that's what I think. He may bow out for health issues. You know, family issues, that's what I'm thinking. But
yeah.
You know what? And that's fine. That's fine. But you know what? The fact is that anybody silencing a seated president or a nominee and former president and telling them that they cannot campaign, especially a judge from a city, not a big-time judge, a judge elected with family members that worked for Mr. Biden, and we could go down the list of this judge's connections to the Democratic Party and his connections to the Biden campaign, even currently with family involved, including a public relations firm that works for the Biden family. Yes. So he's putting a gag order on a president. I just find that to be distasteful, and I find that to be judicial misconduct. Judicial overreach, governmental overreach, judicial abuse. Where is the ethics committee of the New York State Bar Association? Are you awake? Are you watching? I mean, where's the Supreme Court of the High Court of New York? Because Supreme Court is the local court. The higher court of New York. Where are they?
I say you can't handle the truth.
Right. Oh my God. Oh, we're doing movie quotes. And you did Stallone before.
And I love them.
And actually, I went with the one. I used the same thing actually a minute ago when you said you can't. Mm-hmm. I said we only weakened the country today. That was from the same one when he was on the stand and he said to Kathy. He said to Kathy, which was Tom Cruise. He said, mm-hmm. "You only weakened the nation today. Mm-hmm. Either grab a rifle and stand a post. I don't care either way." Right? Remember that was a great
line.
Great line. So we both used movie lines today.
So Ms. Bianchi, I always do that.
Ms. Bianchi, do you have a song to indulge our fans with today?
Sure. Felt like singing something a little mellow.
Bianchi Cam, I guess. Bianchi Cam?
Yes, I'll be singing Norah Jones, Don't Know Why.
Norah Jones, Don't Know
sung
Why.
Sung by me.
Sung by Ms. Bianchi C.
Yes.
Norah Jones, what is it again?
Don't Know Why.
Okay, all right, let's do it.
But you'll be on my mind. but you'll be on my mind
Miss Bianca, that was wonderful.
Thank you. Mwah.
Yeah, you do that with poise and pride and dignity and an angelic voice. Smile for the camera before we make him go back to regular cam. You're on Bianca.
You.
You're like the big cam at Yankee Stadium right now. Bianca Cam.
Oh, hi. Hello.
All right. So anyway, we are back into the show. So wonderful song. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I told you it was a nice mellow song.
I think so. And you know what? Again, I'm not, you know, we everything is copyright approved and licensed. I'm getting, you know, please, when clips go up on our social media and stuff after the show airs on the networks, you know, but quit the stupid stuff. I know if AI is doing it, pay attention because it only takes my staff time to go through and submit the paperwork to say it is allowed to be played. We are a real radio TV show. So we have that license privilege to do that, and yes. It's just a hassle. But anyway.
You know, I have people always say, hey, was that you singing that song? Oh,
yeah.
My God, you sound so much like Nora
right.
Jones.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's me. But, you know, I try to make it different every time I sing.
Yeah, you make it a little like, more personal. You know, you got to
Biancify it.
Yeah, Biancify it. There we go. We might have to put that in the description today, Biancify. Okay. So we're coming into a little bit of a conclusion of this Supreme Court discussion. The Supreme Court ruling on the Trump immunity is truly a landmark decision. Which is far-reaching consequences, and we don't even really know at this point how far-reaching these consequences are going to go. I suspect that they will go far and wide. In a positive way, I don't know. I think that we are in a different world. We are in a different world, and I don't even
That's
really have much
sure.
to say.
Yeah.
There is so much going on. Things are different. People feel
very different.
People feel emboldened to say and do things now that would just never have happened and would never have been accepted by the American public, would not have been accepted by John Q. Public or any newspaper. You know, good journalism has gone out the window.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
it's now facts by rumors.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know. I mean, did we really need to go to the Supreme Court? Now, I'm not saying the Supreme Court made a good decision or a bad decision here. But did we really need to go there? That's the question. Did we truly, again,
oh,
I'm going to say.
Oh, don't go there.
Yeah. Did we weaken a nation again? That's, again, I'm gonna go with that. Did we?
I hope not.
Because this underscores the importance of legal scrutiny and accountability to all public officials. Mm-hmm. And that's something that must be truly remembered. That all public officials, no matter how high or how low on the totem pole you are, you took an oath, you raised your right hand, you took an oath to uphold, to support, and defend the Constitution of the United States, and you are going to faithfully execute the duties of the office for which you are about to assume. Having been taking this oath many times, I have it memorized, both the civilian and the military one.
Pretty impressive.
So, yeah, you are about you are willfully accepting that the take the oath and to faithfully execute the duties and performances of the position you're about to enter. So everybody is held accountable, not just the president, but everybody. So this case could truly be far reaching to other public officials. That's where I'm thinking. Setting the stage for ongoing legal and political battles across the board between both parties, depending on what party at what point is the target of that at the moment, whether it be a target by the Department of Justice, by the news, or just by bots and trolls on the internet. But the outcome of this case will surely and significantly shape the future of presidential conduct and the principles of the justice of this nation forever. The rule of law and how the presidents execute their duties are changed. Again, I'm going to ask, did we weaken a nation? Are we weakening our nation? Are we watering down the Constitution? Are we watering down our leaders? Are we handcuffing and taking executive power away, executive privilege away from those that we rely to protect us? They are there to protect and lead. Whether you must not like everything that everybody does, I understand that. But when they are there in that position, they are there to keep us safe, right, and to ensure that government operates. And when we interfere too much and you start muddying the water and watering things down, who's going to do what?
Right. I got to say, don't water down my freedom.
And it is watering down your freedom, because the next president that comes in there may not be as bold as President Trump and say, hey, I don't care. I'll fight the system. I'll buck the system. I'll throw a monkey wrench into the gears to make it stop so I can say what I need to say. Mm. Not everybody's going to do that. Some people might say, you know, I want to run for president. Maybe I win, maybe I don't, but I don't want it to ruin the rest of my life
or my family's
if I do win and then I end up indicted and ruins my life and my chances. I mean, look at General Mike Flynn. Poor General Mike Flynn had to get federal criminal garbage on him for nothing. He didn't do anything wrong at all,
no,
by any means.
No,
and they threatened his family. They threatened his son with problems. To bring an indictment on him and to get him out. Why? Because that's how we play ball now in this country. That's how we play politics. Are we a banana republic?
What are they trying to act like? The mafia? You know
right.
what I mean?
Right. You know what?
It's like
when the mafia ran presidential elections, Kennedy, you know, ask John F. Kennedy. Well, you can't. He's not here anymore. But Richard Nixon. We go down the list of people that know all about the involvement of organized crime. Cosa Nostra in presidential and politics at every level, local. Look at New Jersey. Look at the presidential. It's everywhere. So did it run better? I don't know. Mm. I don't know. I guess we weren't scandalized in the news like we are today. We weren't villainized. We didn't have any attacks on us at that point. Maybe that was a better world. Mm. I don't know.
Well, I don't know.
I was too young to grow up in that and see that. I grew up in New York and North Jersey and saw everything that went on in New York and New Jersey. I don't know. I don't know. That's for you folks. That is not the discussion of today's show, but
you didn't expect me to say that, huh?
No, but you know, it was a very poignant statement, because it is like people are forcing something to happen when it shouldn't happen. Or forcing something to happen that was never going to happen, that was not inevitable, but they got the ball rolling and made it happen, you know? And that is what bothers me. I'm gonna leave it with my Sinatis call to action.
Okay.
Always stay informed, folks. Stay engaged. This ruling is about more than just one individual. It's about the integrity of our entire legal system and the accountability of our leaders. Okay. Stay focused, 360, 365. 360, keep your head on a swivel, 365 days a year. Okay, because you know what? Right. It's the accountability of our leaders, both Democrat and Republican, at the most lowest level, municipal level, all the way up to the federal presidential level. Advocates for justice, support informed decision-making. Okay, informed decision-making. Not off the cuff. Not I Googled something and I made a decision. Informed. Do your research. Informed decision-making. And remember, a vigilant and informed electorate. A vigilant and informed electorate. That's you, folks. Me, you, everybody, an electorate. We are the voters. An informed electorate is the cornerstone of a robust democracy. And that is what we want here. We want democracy. The people's voice. The voice of the people must be heard. Then if that means holding somebody accountable, I'm okay with that. But not if we're stripping away our dignity of our country at the same time. So let's ensure that our voices are heard and our choices are guided by principles of justice and of accountability. Let me say it again. Make sure our voices are heard. That means show up on election day and vote. You don't have to vote for candidate A or B. You can write in Mickey Mouse. That is your right. People died for your right to vote. Go there and vote for somebody. Don't sit at home and then be the person that complains or puts a stupid bumper sticker on your car or starts tweeting some garbage about the current president when you didn't vote. Okay? Be informed. Read. Pick up a book, folks. They do still exist. There are places called a library. Go to them and pick up a book and look. Don't just rely on your search engine. Don't just rely on me in the Hostile Zone. Don't rely on any media outlet. You can use all of us as pieces and sections, but anybody that writes a paper, a research paper in college, or any academic writing, we use many sources to compile many sources into one thing. Right. You should use many sources to vet your candidate. Make sure that your voice is heard through them. Your voice is heard when you push the lever or pull the lever or push the button, whatever it is that you do to vote in your jurisdiction, that's your voice. But your voice is also heard by picking the right candidate that's speaking what it is that you feel, that their vision and their mission and their philosophy aligns with yours and with your family and what you want for your family and the next generation of America, if you do indeed want America to still be America. Because I know I do.
I do too.
And I think that that is what we need to do. The principles of justice and accountability are paramount to our nation and its survival. That is a quote from Eric Sinati. Now I'm going to give you the closing quote. But I liked my quote. But I'm still going to give you a closing quote. It's one of my favorite quotes. But before we go there, again, I always want to thank everybody. Because without you guys, we would really be nothing. The show is doing great. We are launching additional shows. We are truly, truly doing some wonderful things. Mm-hmm. We are helping other people. We are getting involved. We are trying to be your voice, trying to be your ear. We are trying to be there for you. We enjoy it. We put a lot of work into this. I put a lot of time. Ms. Bianca puts time. It's a lot of work. We do it for you, and we thank you. Because without you coming and tuning in, without you going to wherever you watch or listen to the show, we wouldn't have anything. So I honestly extend that. And Miss Bianca C, we thank them, right?
Yes, thank you.
We thank our contributors and our affiliate stations and everybody for helping us.
Thank you for watching.
I thank everybody.
And listening.
Yep, I thank you for tuning in on every day, whether it be FM, iHeart, or whatever outlet you're using, streaming outlet, TV or whatever. But remember, I'm going to say goodnight, and I'm going to stay vigilant. Stay vigilant. Pay attention. Don't be blind. Don't put the blinders on. Pay attention. Stay vigilant. Now I'm going to give you my quote. It's one of my favorite quotes. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. Edmund Burke. The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. That is a great quote, folks. We're going to leave you on that quote because you know what? When things are happening and good people who have the ability to do something about what they see, if they don't do anything, then evil truly triumphs. And sometimes good people have to get hurt to protect other people from what the evil is doing. That's what I'm going to say. It's one of my favorite quotes. It's actually Edmund Burke. It's a good quote. But also was in a great movie with Bruce Willis. It was when he was rescuing people from the jungle. He's a Navy SEAL rescuing people from the jungle. Rising Sun. Anyway, the only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. And you know what? On the Hostile Zone, we are not one that does nothing. But we definitely know that Miss Bianca is going to tell you how to stay patriotic.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming? broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. For the ramparts we won were so gallantly streaming, and the rockets run where the bombs burst in air, gave proof through the night that our flight was still there.
And it's not going anywhere.
Oh, say does that star spangle banner wave for the land of the free and the home of the brave?
Thank you for listening to The Hostile Zone, because in Sinatra's Zone, I hear everything, everywhere. For everyone else, see you next Monday for more outrageous talk, where we pull back the curtain and hold no punches. From me to you, have a great week. And remember, everyone, treat others kind, treat your family kinder, and always love our country.
That's right, folks. Always love our country.